And we're delighted to have with us somebody who has, I tell you, I have to say, Kevin, you and your company, again, attracted my attention through this wonderfully slick magazine called Smart Tech Solutions. But I want you to tell our folks a little bit more about ACD.net, which you are the CEO of. Kevin Shane, thank you for being with us.
Hey, thanks a bunch. Yeah.
So tell me what ACD. See, I knew it during the break time. We talked about AC/DC, and I'm going to get hooked on that. And I did.
You got to leave the C off.
That's right. Okay.
Go.
What is ACD.net?
we're headquartered out of Lansing. We do a bunch of different things, but we're definitely in the heavily in the infrastructure side of the business. So we build fiber networks. We build cell sites. We also provide services to schools, governments, businesses, gigabit broadband, very high capacity. We have a whole bunch of people who build fiber networks, and we do a lot of cloud hosting, a lot of internet over the top type applications that we developed in-house.
Would people who are listening to the program right now, let's say the generally the users, and some folks also who are involved in businesses, would they be inclined to run into you directly as a provider of their services, or do you provide their providers?
Oh, both. We do a lot of services to the cell carriers to build fiber between their cell sites, as well as other telecommunication firms. But we sell directly to businesses as well. We do a fair amount of residential in certain areas like Lansing, Jackson, and some outlying areas
like
that.
Okay. Yep. Cal?
So I'm a business user, and I'm listening to the show right now, and I hear about you guys. And aside from being able to walk around and look really cool and tell people I got gigabit Ethernet, why do I need gigabit Internet?
Well, that's a great question. I think the speeds out there are so fast that people don't yet have a way to easily fill them, right? Although 4K TVs, I think also the big thing that's going to occur is two-way video. We're already seeing that with live broadcasts through Facebook, where you can essentially set up your own show right off of Facebook with just a camera out of your house. But also,
really?
Yeah, video cameras, yeah. Yep. So you can just set up a live stream in Facebook right now. You know, I
had no idea that it come through. I'm sorry. I'm a little old. Forgive me. Oh, my goodness. I had no idea that was the case.
Yeah. Yeah. You can set up a continuous stream from your camera over your Wi-Fi to a Facebook page if you want to, you know, shoot a short video.
Sure.
It's you know, kind of YouTube, but live, right?
I'll be darned. That is,
you know, just out of curiosity, because I remember people would talk about, you know, how much of the bandwidth is that actually using? In the old days, you know, they would say that gamers on the internet are basically slowing everything down. But I mean, I imagine that live streaming, how much bandwidth would that actually use? Would it be 4 megabyte of your gigabyte channel? Would it be? I guess it depends on the definition you're using and the type of compression.
Yeah, the big advantage also with very high speed connections is they can guarantee the packets are going to get through because they're highly unlikely to be congested.
Yeah.
When your kid's playing Minecraft or watching when the whole family's watching Netflix, right? So it just gives you more options. But streaming video. Typically for like live stream on Facebook, we use 2 to 4 megabit out of a gigabit. So you got a 1,000 and you're using 2 to 4. But 4K TVs, as those go full streaming, which are available on the new Roku and the Apple TV boxes stuff like that, those are in the range of 25 to 50 megabits. But soon 8K TVs are coming out as well.
Good grief.
Right. And virtual reality, I think, is going to be the heavy user of gigabit broadband networks. I mean, I've got an Oculus Rift at my house, and I've got it in my little workout room, you know. And but Microsoft, you know, they just announced, as you guys will probably be going over in your second half, their VR headset is cheap as $300.
Well, wow.
Once it gets
what is it called? HoloLens?
Well, no, that's a separate product. That was their original product, the HoloLens. And this is a new product called the VR. A virtual reality headset.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So VR is going to use a ton of bandwidth, especially when integrated with online games and online virtual worlds. You know, in the business market, they're going to have purposes for engineering, 3D modeling, and those types of things. But with these, VR headsets that will be directly connected to very you know, you'll need a Intel i7 type of computer, you know, a relatively high-end new computer
to use them. Yeah, yeah.
That's, I think, going to drive a lot of demand on broadband.
Well, I hear you talking about, to answer your question, Cal, it sounds like there's going to be a lot more and more reasons to consume more and more bandwidth as you're... As you want,
it
for the regular consumer.
Right. I mean, who's ever going to fill up a 1.44 floppy, right? I mean, you know, and that just happened, you know, like what seems overnight.
I can still remember putting the darn things in. Were those the big ones that were floppy?
The hardened floppy. I mean, remember, the original ones were 360K.
That's right.
And then you got...
No, I remember when they were actually floppy. You used to have to back and forth.
You used to have to cut a notch in them so you could flip them over and get 720K. I
mean, woo-ha!
Yeah, so, I mean, use less.
We never go backwards.
Yeah. I mean, but cars now, at least with cars, we get more miles to the gallon, but it's further to drive everywhere, you know, so.
Cal.
So I'm looking at your publication right here, and it says phone, fiber, and internet. So you offer all these services to businesses and more, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We have a data center where we have developed a lot of this technology. We have a whole bunch of programmers as well. And so we take off the shelf code. But we provide like hosted phone service across our network. The big advantage with having a very high speed network is we can control the quality, right? You're not the public internet still has quality issues just because you don't know and can't flow traffic correctly, you know. And this was the big net neutrality debate that still kind of exists. The plumbing of the internet does not necessarily prioritize traffic automatically. So we're able to sell and provide, you know, hosted phone, HD camera for surveillance, as well as quality control type applications. We're deploying cameras, for example, at a GM, actually in a GM plant for the supplier who delivers materials to the plant, but they occasionally get dinged and banged up, and they want to be able to trace down those errors, and they put in 60 cameras into the handoff place.
That's right? Fascinating.
Yep.
Yeah, I had heard that. A matter of fact, I think the Automation Alley is going to be having a presentation coming up later on in November, I believe, and it's going to be what they say that from the plant floor to management. I think there's a term they use. In other words, they're connected with cameras. Management wants to see what's going on down on the plant floor, and that's an application of that.
Exactly. Yeah, we're putting them into manufacturing facilities, and you need a lot of capacity to do that. But putting in 50 or 100 cameras when they're only $99, they only cost us $100, and we stream all that to storage arrays. Mm-hmm. But anybody can look at those simultaneously on their cell phone. We have a cell phone app where you can log in and look at your cameras in your business. You know, that's pretty. It's easy to do with one or two cameras. It's a different thing to do when you got 100 of them or 200 of them out of sight.
Do you provide traditional hosting services as well?
Yeah, like web hosting and things like that. Common commodity web hosting. But we're really focusing on developing cloud applications to use the broadband network that we built.
We're talking, by the way, with Kevin Shane, who is the CEO of ACD.net. And you're based out of Lansing.
Yep.
And they, as you're hearing, they provide all sorts of services, both to industry and to the consumer, to small businesses and very large businesses. And to, I'm curious, because we have often... request, and this would be for people who are listening to us right now on our network through our affiliates in places like Battle Creek, around Battle Creek, or Kalamazoo, or Grand Rapids, or Lansing, for instance. Communities there are having a tough time hooking into the kind of things that you're talking about. So are you going on to the smaller communities as well, or finding a way of delivering your kind of potential to them?
Oh, yeah. Like Lansing, Grand Rapids, Jackson, we build fiber networks. And, you know, fiber networks are very expensive. So once we get a mile, a big company may help pay for a mile to get closer to them. But then we hook up all the small businesses.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about that and also about hooking up to the consumers as well. Coming back in just a minute as we talk with Kevin Shane, the president of ACD.net, about hooking you up to broadband fiber. Thank you for joining us here on the Internet Advisor and for allowing us into your lives, both through our affiliates, welcome, and also through our podcast. Delighted to have you along with us. And it doesn't matter if we're get pushed around a little bit by the guys in green and white. We're delighted that you're able to connect with us through our podcast here. And today we're talking with Kevin Shane, CEO of ACD.net. And it's an organization that's located in Lansing. And we've been talking about how they are helping to kind of bring people in, businesses, I think, and also providers into an age in which there's an increasing use of bandwidth. In other words, do you have enough bandwidth to be able to do what you really want to do? Whether that's to be able to stream something from your Facebook page, that's fascinating to me. Or if you're a business that wants to be able to watch what's going on the loading dock where your product is being offloaded, is it being damaged in the process? Are all the things being delivered that are supposed to be delivered? Those kind of things. We've been talking about that as we've been going on. Kevin, again, thank you so much for being with us, especially at this short notice. I'm delighted you could come down here.
Definitely.
And be with us. And you, pardon me. Ed, you had a question before,
yeah,
and I wanted to ask it on the air.
Yes. Well, there's two things that have happened. First, we had net neutrality at the very beginning or the latter end of last year that, you know, it went where pretty much everything remained the same. And net neutrality would have allowed the ISPs and other bodies to route traffically differently based on its content. And so emails, which is slow delivery of mail, gets the same priority as live streaming. And I always wanted to talk to an ISP to figure out, you know, what's your take on how things turned out?
Well, I think they haven't really fully gelled exactly what net neutrality is, because you have to be able to prioritize traffic. Every service provider has to do that. They do it for security purposes, right? Like if somebody's trying to hack networks or there's a large-scale denial of service.
Mm.
The question is, are you doing it to the extent that you're impairing a third party from transferring data across your network? And inherently, this is an issue that's going to have to be wrestled with. Ultimately, the framework of the net neutrality order doesn't fully address what's technologically possible, right? And ultimately, at the end of the day, you shouldn't stop somebody's traffic, but if it's high priority traffic, let's say we're doing a video conference related to an operating room procedure, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're going to want that. You're going to want to make sure that video goes across. The internet's the natural place to do that, so you don't have to build a private connection across the, you know, between cities just for that purpose.
Mm.
And so you have to be able to prioritize traffic. But do you want to stop Netflix or YouTube? You know, would Comcast want to slow those guys down? Probably, you know. So that's why the order got put in place, is to make sure that right now you really can't prioritize traffic legally on the internet.
But you have to.
But you have to. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very good question, Ed.
Yeah. And the other thing that happened is just October 2nd, and I'm trying to remember the term, where basically network naming and addressing was turned over to an international body
as opposed to
a U.S. organization. And I can't remember the actual term. I'm drawing a blank right now. Sorry, 5 days in Vegas.
I think it was the IANA.
Yeah, IANA. Thank you.
Yep.
The International Naming. That's right.
Naming Authority. Yep.
Yep.
That hasn't made any...
Right now, it's not. I don't think it's going to, because it's all with right now, it's the same people, the same organizations. But over time, that's going to change.
Well, the chief concern, I think, with that is, are you going to allow a little bit more repressive governments to take a chunk of the internet and cordon it off? I mean, you know, China, you talk about the Great Firewall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they can necessarily have control over the naming, the thing that changes the names of a website to a number,
mm-hmm.
and that gets shipped over to Iran or China, is that necessarily a good thing? I tend to think not. You know, I mean,
right.
I think, you know, that control should exist in democracy, but it's hard to say, you know, the United States can be the dictator of the world and nobody else
and
gets to participate.
Exactly, right. And if we turned it over to the Germans, everything would just, you know, those Germans, I mean, they pretty much have firewalls around their whole country right now as it is anyways. Would you really want them to handle it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible.
I want to jump to a question that a term that I saw in a presentation you have here, this Smart Tech Solutions magazine that fell into my hands. And as you talk about black swan tech events, what are black swan tech events?
Well, you should plan for the black swan is a term, you know, that basically says the unknown or the unlikely to occur probably is going to occur. You know, if it can't go wrong,
Murphy's
it will.
Murphy's Law, isn't it?
Right. And I really think this rapid change in technology is adjusting industries. Obviously, radio is adjusting, right? You know,
we're
and it's adjusting all industries. It's going to have a massive change here in Southeast Michigan. This whole driverless car technology, battery electrification, Detroit and the auto industry is now going to become the tech industry, right?
Certainly it looks like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. And, you know, I'm very glad we have a strong control of that in the United States, where, you know, just I think 15 years ago when nobody, you know, U.S. company really controlled the cell phone industry or had a strong grasp of it, right, other than maybe Motorola. But it was basically Ericsson and a lot of foreign companies that controlled the cell phone industry. But, you know, within a few short years, Google, Apple, really with their software technology took over the universe of control. And I think that's going to happen in cars too, right? The great software development that's occurring at Google and other U.S. firms, Uber and these other technologies. I mean, I think, you know, 15 years from now, 10 years from now, we're all going to be driving around not paying attention to the road. We're going to be looking at our phones or screens in cars. You know, I think that'll be the future of it all.
Or we could be doing what I saw an article. This just fascinated me. This was in Wired magazine, I think it was. Uber is talking about flying cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like that, huh?
Yeah.
And in a very short time that the technology is out there, that they could start flying cars.
So basically, well, the drone technology is really taking off.
Yes.
And what you need is the battery industry to get involved with that and FCC. Yeah, good luck, Uber.
They said they could make San Francisco to Silicon Valley in about 15 minutes for the price of a private ride on the ground with Uber X.
Yeah, for the first maybe 5 years until the skies are filled with flying vehicles, and then you're back up to a traffic jam, and us people on the ground will be sailing along the freeways.
But this will be closer to the Jetsons.
Yeah, only if they can get the car to fold up into a briefcase.
That's true. That's true.
I do not want to squash anyone's ambition. So if you want to come up with a flying car, please do.
Now, what struck me about this was going on. You said the Black Swan tech events can destroy Michigan businesses. How would that happen?
Well, I think what I see with a lot of companies is there's really two kind of mentalities. Either you're controlling the industry or the industry's controlling you, right? In the tech industry, we've got to control what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Google's got to be in a control situation. And so rather than taking a passive kind of mindset and watching what's happening in the industry, you better be one of the levers.
Kind of waiting until it happens to you.
Right. And I think that's if you're a manufacturer, you got to be on the cutting edge of manufacturing, because if you're not, the rate of technological innovation, the exchange of data, the rapid high-speed marketing that's occurring, you know, if you're not dominating and controlling, I think you're going to be left on the sidelines. So technology really has got to get infused into every aspect of business, whether it's retailing, distribution, warehousing, manufacturing. You've got to have complete control of all of the elements of your business. And I think you know, a lot of these Internet of Things devices, right, are going to take over. I got an Amazon Dot, you know, just the newest one just a week ago. And, you know, I'm already talking to it, telling it to play radio stations that I couldn't otherwise, you know, hear. And, you know, you got Alexa, play, you know, and then these are just little, you know.
We better watch out because somebody's got an Alexa right near them right now. And whatever you tell it to do, it's about to do.
Yes. I was playing a YouTube video to hear, what Alexa could do. And then my Alexa next to me was starting to react to the YouTube video.
Oh, that's just great. I can go by someone's house and just yell in the window, turn off all the lights.
Right, exactly. You can. Yeah.
No, you have to start that phrase with Alexa.
Yeah, with turn Alexa. Right.
No, tell him what? That. You see that nasty grin on his face? You know what's going to happen.
Yeah, why is it that all these things have a women's name to it, though? You know? Alexa, Siri, Cortana. There's none of them named Jim.
Or if I was going to rename it, it'd be HAL, right? HAL 9000. I was telling my employees when I, you know, was showing them this thing, I was like, it's only taken 45-50 years from to get the talking computer.
Kevin, hang on a second. What we're going to do is take a pause for just a moment. We're going to step out. Mike Brennan is coming in with MI Tech News. And after we finish finding out about the headlines with him, we'll step back with you and kind of wrap things up here on the first hour of the Internet Advisor. Kevin, let's wrap things up by telling folks a little bit more, just kind of quickly, about ACD.net and how they can find out more, maybe if they're in Lansing or Jackson or anywhere, they can get connected to ACD.net.
Oh, yeah. We provide services all across the state, primarily on the border of Metro Detroit and everywhere else. But, you know, from Mount Pleasant, Boyne City, Traverse City, you know, Grand Rapids, basically every mid-sized town and higher, you know, Lansing, Jackson. Our website's www.acd.net, and our phone number is 517-999-9999.
999.
Wow, how'd you get that number? That's awesome.
Wow, 517 and all the rest are nines. We'll be sure to post it on our website as well. Thank you, Kevin, so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And the very best to you. That's ACD.net.